night, and welcome to episode one of Pennies in the Well. I'm your host, Saturn, and I want to thank you for downloading the show, taking the time to listen to me, and seeing whether or not you find this interesting. It's a strange spot, I'll admit, to be in right now. I feel kind of like I'm standing in front of a doorway and having that, I'm about to walk through the door. I've already put my hand on the knob, the door is opening, and I'm about to sneak through, that strange new beginning sensation. I suppose, given the title of the show, Pennies in the Well, I could actually have made the analogy about standing at the edge of the well and looking down into it, but I think this one's more about a door than a well. So welcome to episode one. Again, thank you for downloading. The opening song that you heard is called, not surprisingly, Pennies in the Well, and it's a song by a Canadian artist. She's from Ottawa. Her name is Meredith Luce, surprisingly spelled L-U-C-E, and I'll have her contact information at the end of this first segment. To give you an idea of how this particular show is going to go, it's going to be pretty much a lot about introducing me to you, which seems a little unfair, so remember that I have an email address. It is penniesinthewell, PennisinTheWell at gmail.com. I think normally I'm probably going to skip the spelling of that because I would like to think that most everyone probably can spell it. And boy, that was a whole lot of letters all in a row. So do feel free to email me, penniesinthewell at gmail.com, and give me any feedback. You can also leave comments on the show website, which no surprise at all, penniesinthewell.com, all one word, except for the .com. And let me know what you think of it. I realize this first one will be a little hard to comment on for content-wise, because really, again, it's going to all be about me. First segment, I'm going to talk about what I kind of envision for the show. The second segment, I'll give you some history of me and kind of how I got to this particular moment, sitting here on a bouncy ball in front of a microphone talking seemingly to myself, but thankfully I have this nice little image of friends of mine on the other side of this funny little snowball microphone and the pretty gandolin behind it, smiling, waving at me, making funny faces at me, and cheering me on. So thank you for my dear friends for being supportive. So I'm going to, again, that second segment will be about how I got to here. And then the third segment, I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a little trip into the well itself and give you an idea of kind of how I see it. So that's what the first show is going to be about. Well, it basically is a whole lot of introduction. The later shows will obviously be more topic-driven, and to give you, I guess, now is the perfect time to talk about what those topics might be. I do want to say that coming up with the concept for Pennies in the Well, okay, backtracking slightly, I never thought I'd do a podcast. It was not on my list of things to do. It was never something I dreamt of and went, ooh, I can go and talk to, a whole bunch of people worldwide. And yes, that is my cat. I guess we're doing introductions now. If you heard that, that was Bastion. He's my black kitty. I know I'm sidetracking slightly, terribly sorry, but bear with me. Since he's introducing himself, he is one of my pair of boys. He's the black one, and he's the one who, well, how can I possibly say this nicely? I could say that he's an energy slut, and that's what draws him into all magical circles and into places where magical objects are. And since I happen to like lighting candles that typically have a magical nature and leave them lying around, he either the magical aspect or the heat aspect draws him to it, and he likes to lie down on my candles. Yes, lie down on burning candle. This seems particularly pertinent at the moment because he did it less than a week ago. Actually, almost a week ago, exactly, where he managed to set about a 6-inch square patch of fur on fire. Didn't even notice, actually. I was sitting with my back to him. He didn't make a sound, just kind of jumped all of a sudden onto the floor and then got a little spooked and went off in the corner. And then the smell hit me. And it was the smell, strangely enough, that told me that once again, my very intelligent cat had decided to set himself on fire. So I have three cats. He is one. Mason is his brother, a gray cat, yellow. Yellow, my God. I must be the candle in front of me. I like to think I'm going to edit that out, but I'm probably not, because it gives you an indication of, you know, I'm very human and slipping slightly off of what I mean to say happens. So I'm setting up that idea for you now. Sometimes the thought in the head and the word that comes out don't quite match. So periodically I will be correcting myself because that's just the way it goes. So Mason is a gray cat, not yellow, and very quiet. You'll probably never know that I actually have him as a cat. And then there's my darling sweet Chinook, and she's my older girl, and she is 13, doesn't like having company in the house, even though the boys have been here for 4 years, and has gotten very grumpy about that lately. So if you hear, you know, howling, yowling, caterwauling, and it sounds like one cat, if not two, are about to die, not actually happening. I tend to tune it out a little bit at this point, which is probably why I wouldn't actually stop the show. I'd probably keep going. So if you hear that, no one's actually being hurt. There's typically not any blood drawn. There's not even usually any fur flying, just a cat who's temperamental and likes to express her temperamentality in a very vocal way. So at the moment, she's lying over to the side in front of the heat register and cheerfully ignoring what I'm doing. And because I'm talking to apparently myself from his point of view, my other cat Bastion is once again back at me going, but if you're talking to yourself, you could be paying attention to me. So this has pretty much nothing to do with what the show will be about, but it does give you an idea of what kind of conditions I'm working in. And as I said, I'm sure you will hear them again. So I'd like you to know what you're hearing and that it's okay. They're fine. I swear they're fine. So again, coming back to the concept of pennies in the well and my intention of never actually doing a podcast, not that I was against it, just I'd never actually planned on it. This was not on my list of things to do before I die. And then, you know, I know some people who do podcasting, do fabulous podcasting. Oh my God, I've been doing it. They're in their fourth year. And so they know who they are. Hats off to you, Mojo and Sparrow. You definitely are inspiring. I know you've inspired many people into the podcasting land, and you have that, oh my God, there's so many more podcasts to listen to. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm adding to that list. What can I say? You are inspiring. And now I feel a need to share some of what I've learned and what I'm still learning, actually, with a few more people. And hopefully you who are listening will get something out of it. So my thanks to, again, Mojo and Sparrow. They're over at the Wiggly and Way. And if by some strange miracle of chance you've actually come across my podcast and not theirs yet, please feel free, check them out. They're at The Wigglian Way, theWigglianway.ca. They're also on iTunes, of course, and they are fabulous. They are fun to listen to. They've got some great stuff on magic, on the craft, and just a really good, entertaining listen. So head over, give them a listen if you haven't, like I said, somehow miraculously not done that. Right. But I'm supposed to be talking about this podcast and what I was thinking of. So, no shit, there I was. Thoughts start coming into the head, you know, those sneaky little thoughts that aren't necessarily your own thoughts of going, you know, you've been learning all this stuff about body work and dream work and, you know, how to integrate shadow sides and a lot of personal experience that's gone into this. And not a lot of people necessarily in the pagan community know about it. And wouldn't it be great to share it? And, you know, the podcast thing is very doable. You bought the MacBook last year for the writing, so why not slip on over into the podcast side? It's like this crazy little voice in the back of my head, you see. So the little whispers kept going, and I'm doing a full moon. Was it a full moon? Honey, I'm sorry, I can't remember. With my coven mate, and that is my coven mate, Holly. was over. We were doing some fire gazing in this beautiful old cauldron that I have. It was a find made actually by a cousin of mine that I acquired off of said cousin while the deal was made during a very Christian wedding of a different cousin. But I digress. So I have this beautiful old cauldron. It's like 150 years old, cast iron, absolutely massive. At least one person has actually thrown their back out while carrying it. And no, it is not for sale. It will never be for sale. I get asked that a lot. So let me just clear that up now. So we had done a little the rubbing alcohol stuff, the really good stuff. If you're going to ever do that in something and burn it for scrying, use the really good quality rubbing alcohol, because if you don't, there's a lot of filler that's in some of the cheaper ones, and they will leave a disgusting puddle at the bottom of your container that you really don't want to clean up. So if you use the higher quality one, the flames last longer and it burns cleaner and burns pretty much completely, so it's fabulous. So we're doing some fire gazing, and pennies in the well. It leaps, the phrase leaps into the center of my awareness, and I have some imagery that goes with it, and I know it's the podcast name. It is the podcast I'm going to do. And now it's about 5 weeks later, and I have a theme song that a very lovely woman who has never met me, never heard of me, has actually agreed to let me use for the podcast. So again, Meredith Luce, thank you so much. That was pointer number two, that this is really going to happen. Pointer number three is the picture on the website. If you see the logo and the picture actually on the website repeated again, that is work that was done by a lady in Australia. It's amazing how I've managed to stay both within my country and cross entire continents through this process already. And I contacted her about using her artwork, and she also, rather amazingly for me, said yes. Her name is Puri. I really hope it's Puri, and if I'm mispronouncing it, I'm very, very sorry. It's spelled P-A-R-E-E, so it was a little hard for me to figure out exactly how to say it, and I'll have her contact information. I was going to do it at the end of the segment, but why not right now? It is P-A-R-E-E-E-R-I-C-A dot DeviantArt, DeviantArt.com. So I break the first word up into Pari and Erica. I think that's what makes sense to me, because there is three E's in the middle of that. So it's parierica.deviantart.com. These will, of course, also be in the show notes, so you can go and have a look on there. And because it's the logo, I have it as a link at the bottom of the website as well to her site. And I have to say, oh my God, beautiful artwork. I have a little gothy side to my nature, and even without that, beautiful artwork, but with that, just heartwarming, stunning, love it. And I'm really glad that this process actually opened up this other world of art to me so I could enjoy that. So that was step number three, at which point I knew it was going ahead. And since we're apparently getting into the history of this rather than what it's about, I also want to put out my thanks right now to Sarah, the Witch of Forest Grove, who is my web guru. You can't see it, Sarah. You can probably hear it. I am bowing before you. You rock. Oh, you are awesome with sauce. Awesome sauce all over. She got me up and running with the website in a day. A couple little glitches that were nothing to do with her world. So it took a couple days after that before everything was all visible. But the beauty that you see when you go to penniesinthewell.com is thanks to the amazing Sarah. And she actually also does, strangely enough, a podcast called Hedge Folk Tales. And it's located at hedgefolktales.com. HedgeFolktales.com. She also has her own personal website at, it's The Witch of Forest Grove, no the in the actual spelling, so just Witch of Forest Grove, all one word, .com, and you can see some of the amazing things that she does, carving and such. So she is my web guru. Thank you so much, Sarah, for getting me set up. And since I've done all the other websites, terribly sorry, Meredith, for kind of slipping you in at the end. But you'll get slipped in a lot because you are my theme song. And her website address is www.meredithluce, MeredithLuce.com. And I'm happy to say that I picked up her music, and I'm going to echo Mojo from the Wiggling Way on support your artists, your pagan artists, your local artists. A lot goes into the making of the music that we really get to enjoy. And without our support, they can't keep doing it. So if you like her music, love her artwork too, it's really funky, then check out her website, give her a listen, see about downloading some of her stuff from iTunes or heading over to CD Baby, which is the one looking after her stuff. So thank you very much, Meredith. This is greatly appreciated. All of that went into the setting up of the podcast. The strangest part, and the reason why I haven't actually mentioned topics up till now, is I didn't really necessarily have them. I had this general sense of kind of what I wanted to share, things that I've been working on spiritually and personally, and in some ways, in a lot of ways, there actually isn't a difference between what you work on personally and what you work on spiritually. It's more a series of levels, but I'm going to talk about that in a different show. But there's things that I've been working on, wanting to share with people, and realizing that because of the opportunities that I've had, I work at UBC, which is the University of British Columbia, and have taken some courses that have really expanded my experiences when it comes to body work. And give you a really brief idea of what I mean by body work. It really is working with the body. It is integrating the body experience into daily life. Like, for instance, at the moment, if I settle into my body, if I go, how am I actually feeling? I have that, oh my God, I actually am a little nervous. There's that, I'm probably not going to go and delete any particular stuff from the show. I'm probably just going to let it ride as is. And I'm not going to redo it 5 times and see if I can come up with a better take. This is it. And this is what people are going to hear. And people are going to listen to it. That in and of itself, I got excitement going up and down my body. My heart's going a little faster. I'm all tense. I feel it all through my chest. It's kind of this tingly sensation. So that's an aspect of body work, is really feeling what it is that's going on in your body. Body work is also about connecting with your body and giving it a voice. We don't often recognize how much it exists within the body, how much we carry within it, and giving it voice and giving it expression really helps when it comes to working through our own particular issues. And I guess you could say that a lot of this show is going to be about mental and spiritual health as well. It's going to be about how to make, or tips that I have, things that I've learned about making or getting your life more integrated on a variety of levels. So I've had these experiences. I've had the chance to delve into that more than I think most of the people in my own pagan community have had, and get to apply it and integrate it with my pagan experiences to really expand my practice as a witch, and to take that basic tenet of know thyself and explore it in a wonderfully deep way. So I'm doing this podcast to do that. However, that doesn't mean that I have a strong list of topics that I was going... I didn't have this massive plan. As I came to realize what I was doing the podcast for and what I wanted to share, I started making notes in my cute but psycho book, which my dance instructor and friend gave to me. So adorable. It's this cute little blue bunny in a straight jacket all tied up. And he's got this great, wonderful, happy look on his face. And underneath it says, cute but psycho. Yeah, I kind of resonate with that. You will find, if you continue listening, and I hope you will, that I tend to be a semi-flamboyant, okay, quite flamboyant person. I have a lot of, sorry, I was just distracted by a hissing kitty. I tend to the very, I want to say ecstatic, but not really. That's not quite the right word. I take joy in life. It is very important to me to enjoy what goes on. I am therefore very silly. I don't need to go find my inner child because she's right here with me on a 24/7 almost basis. I'm also very good at serious, and I'm very familiar with the darker aspects of life. So I think what's going to happen in this show, and it really is something that we're going to end up exploring together. What I think will happen is that there will be a lot of exploration of darker topics, not exclusively, not by any stretch. And if you look at the website, it says that it's exploring magic, life, and living, partly because that gives me a lot of ground to cover, which means that I have things to talk about for quite some time. But it is actually about what I want to talk about. There are things magic-wise that I want to discuss, and there are things about life and the concept of life and how that relates spiritually to things. And then there's about living, and that's about the actual experience we have as beings that are physically present and spirits that are encased in the physical, going through life and having experiences. And so these are the areas that I'm going to explore. There are going to probably be some dark moments. I'm going to talk about mental health, and I'm going to go into some of those darker places that people don't necessarily talk about. So while I'm exploring those deep, dark crevices, I mean, this is a podcast that in its title says that it's about, you know, pennies in the well. So you have to guess that we're going to slide into the deep unconscious every now and again. So we're going to hit those dark places. And what I find for my own personal world, my own personal balance, what I need when I do that is also a fair dose of silliness. So you will find that there will be moments that are meant to be fun and enjoyed and just savored because it was enjoyable. I think that kind of covers the basics of where I'm headed. I didn't give you a lot because it is an exploration. It's a journey, and it's a journey that I hope we can take together, and you can give me feedback. Let me know what it is that you also want to explore and what will help you in exploring. So, and at this point, I'm going to say I have talked way too long in this introduction. I just had a look at the time and went, oh my God, and I have 2 segments left to go. So I'm going to slide into a little break here and going to play some music for you in the break. This music is from the Arrogant Worms. Oh my God. My coven mate went with me, one of my coven mates, I should say, but Holly went with me last Sunday night. We saw the Arrogant Worms locally. Their website is Arrogant Worms, ArrogantWorms.com. They are a Canadian comedy trio who are absolutely fabulous, in my opinion. I know, pagan podcast, not exactly what you're expecting to hear, but I will say that there was an entire contingent of pagan people there. There was about, I'm going to guess, between 15 and 18 of us who met up in the intermission, and some of us knew ahead of time that a couple other people were going, but not everybody. This was not a coordinated effort. This was accidental and marvelous. So I hope you enjoy. I think the first song I'm going to probably play for you, one of their newer songs called Pressure Washer, and I think I'm going to follow it with I Am Cow. So let's find out. I hope you have been enjoying listening, and thank you for downloading Pennies in the Well.
I'm a real guy, I like real guy things like boats and guns and onion rings. household chores need a power resolution. I went to the store and I purchased a solution. I got a pressure washer. I got a pressure washer. I got a pressure washer. I like it a lot, 'cause it makes cleaning destructive. Now I blow away the dirt and obliterate the muck. I pressure wash my fence and my couch and my truck. Nothing's dirty in the house, though things are a little damp. My cat's clean now, even though it's bald. Its fur is in a corner of a neighbor's yard. I got a new kid, but diapers aren't a problem. I pressure washed his butt, he'll never pee on me again. I got a pressure washer.
He likes it a lot.
I got a pressure washer.
Clean up the tongue.
Sure, I may be squirting water, but in my head, I'm a sergeant with a flamethrower spewing out death. I got 2,000 PSI of awesome killing force.
Look out, commies, here comes Mike Rambo with this 50 mil pressure washer. Look at him go.
Jehovah's Witnesses come and shake my hand. I pressure wash their literature, and now they understand. I got a pressure washer. Day when I was out pressure washing my lawn, my neighbor came home with a big smile on. He pulled out a brand new gas-powered, turbocharged, 90-gauge, super mega, mega, mega washer with a DVD drive. Damn it! I need a bigger pressure washer.
It's a bigger pressure washer.
I need a bigger pressure washer.
It's a bigger pressure washer.
I need a bigger pressure washer. I need a bigger pressure washer.
Ooh, ooh.
I need a bigger pressure washer, or maybe a Hummer.
I am cow, hear me moo. I weigh twice as much as you, and I look good on the barbecue. Yogurt, curd, cream cheese, and butter's made from liquid from my udders. I am cow, hear me moo. I am cow, eating grass, methane gas comes out my ass, and out my muzzle when I belch. Oh, the ozone layer is thinner from the outcome of my dinner. I am cow, I've got gas. I am cow, here I stand.
Welcome back to Pennies in the Well, and I hope you enjoyed those selections from Arrogant Worms. Again, they're arrogantworms.com, and actually they allow you to listen to any of their song online in full. You can also purchase it from them there through iTunes or order the CD. But I do have to say they do some fabulous music. I am sure that you will hear more of them on my show again, because I just cannot resist the silly funness that is the Arrogant Worms. And while I've been on break, I've also been dealing with some fun times in the cat world. We're having a very bad cat night. My friends know that my older cat has been going through a very difficult period recently, and I'm actually going to be seeing the vet about it on Wednesday. And today is a bad, bad, bad day. So we got a lot of crankiness going on in the room around me, which is unfortunate. The world outside me has been a little different. We've had, it's the last day of the Olympics today. It was, which I guess makes it probably about February 28th. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry if you're not Canadian and you're listening to this, but we won the hockey game! Woo! Okay, had to do that. Sorry, that was probably way too loud for the poor speaker, but oh my god, we won in overtime. We've lost a lot of games, and being from Vancouver, which I probably should mention as well, that's right, I'm actually in the Greater Vancouver area, so I've been living with the Olympics in my back door, or backyard, I guess is the right phrase, for the last 2 weeks, which has been interesting times, and which also means that we have the Canucks, and I love the Canucks. I root for the Canucks. We also, you know, it's the Canuck way to not necessarily quite manage to get it, the winning stuff in the very end. Anyhow, so just really happy to have done so well. We had a great couple of weeks. A lot of interesting things going on. There was the unfortunate death of the gentleman even before the Olympics started, in the practice run on the luge, was it? And the story of another Canadian, I think it was a Canadian girl. I might be wrong about that. I'm not actually sure where she's from. And her mother died flying in here, actually. 2 days before she was going to be, her daughter would be figure skating, she actually died in Vancouver General Hospital, which was really tragic. I'm very proud of the girl, though. She came in, she actually managed to get a bronze, and I would assume she did it for her mother. And a bunch of very touching stories that go with the Olympics. I think that's actually just something about human nature, that we like to see the human quality in the experiences around us. A story is good, but a story that connects with a person, with the heart, is just that much better. Anyhow, so it's been the Olympic time. It's obviously it's February 28th, means we're halfway-ish sliding towards Ostara, a little bit away from Imbolc. Anyone who's followed the Olympics, and doesn't matter if you're in Vancouver or not, is very aware that we've had rather remarkable weather. It's been incredibly sunny here. The cherry blossoms are in full bloom. The crocuses have been up for ages. It's spring, and it's early for spring, even for us. And we tend towards the temperate weather, but my God, this is just a little crazy. So that's the kind of the state of the world around me, which I've kind of forgot to do in the first segment, and I'm a little shocked at how long the first segment went. And I know that I can ramble and talk at length, but that was a wee bit of a surprise. And now I'm going to head into giving you some back history of how I got to be the crazy ass person sitting in front of the microphone yabbering at you right now, which hopefully will not go quite as long. So, which is a little spooky, because I'm not sure how well I can manage that, given that it's been over 20 years that I've been a pagan. But I'm going to go pretty quick. Even though I'm going to start when I was about the age of 8, I'm going to go quick, trust me. Now, I was not somebody who was a witch when I was 8, but the reason I started 8 is that's about when I first connected with my goddess. I didn't realize that connection. Like, I've always seemed to have known about it, but didn't realize how far back it went until actually in the last year or two, when I realized that, no, she's been with me that long. And so the reason I also mention 8 is because I remember being that young, and I remember lying in bed and staring at the ceiling and going, I wish I was a witch. I wish I was a witch. I wish I was a witch. Yeah, I didn't want to be a doctor or a fireman or a fire truck, for that matter. I wanted to be a witch, possibly a superhero. You know, I was a little open to that suggestion, you know, but I wanted to be a witch. In particular, very enamored of the concept of flying as well. And little did I know at that point that it would come true, just not in quite the way the 8-year-old imagined it, with the literal flying broom, which I still think would be cool, but the balancing would probably be difficult. And if you've ever made your own homemade broom, you know what? They're made usually from trees in the wood, and unless you manage to get all those knobby bits worn down really nicely, they're not comfortable. hard to imagine that sitting on, you know, a little piece of wood would be comfortable anyways, because I find sitting on a bicycle not comfortable. But regardless, I digress. So fast forwarding many years, I could stop in very briefly at about, I think it was age of 12, I got my first tarot deck, which is the Morgan Greer Tarot. And strangely enough, I was visiting Sarah, the Witch of Forest Grove, yesterday, and she just picked up the Morgan Greer Tarot as her new deck, her new working deck. And I'm looking at it going, my God, a flashback city, you know, flashback to childhood city. Because like I said, I was 12 when I picked it up. And oh, it's just flooded with memories in its own weird way. But I haven't actually read with that deck in decades. And it's all a little eerie to me that I can now say decades plural and not mean back to the age of 5. But I'm going to skip right past that and keep going in my little storytelling. And then I was skipping forward to about the age of 18. And to give you some concept of where things sit, I'm about 2 weeks and a couple days. Yeah, I'm a mid-March baby away from being 39. So 40 is coming up really, 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 really quick. I'm fine about it. Really, really, I'm fine. I'm just fine about turning 40. Absolutely, completely fine. Nothing to be worried about. Nothing to see here. No. Fine. Yeah, sure. So anyhow, the age of 18, I started, 18's when it started, but things really, it was when I was 19 that things got more interesting. I was in university by then, I was working in a bookstore, and I was starting to really try and explore, excuse me for just a moment, I have to go break up a cat fight. I'll be right back. Sorry about that. I know that I said that I usually can ignore it, but today's been, again, as I said, a rather special day. So I believe I was at the point of discussing, I was working in a bookstore. One of my coworkers actually had worn a pinnacle ring to work one day. And this was right about the time that I was trying to find books on Wicca. I knew I'd had a moment. I was out walking the streets with a friend of mine, and like a bolt of lightning, it struck me that I was a witch, that was the right word, description, being for who I was. I knew nothing about what that meant. I didn't know how to go and pursue it. I didn't know how to be a witch, but I knew I was a witch. I'm one of those type of people. We seem to fall into two categories, those who come by it almost by epiphany or always knowing, and those who come to it through study. So I'm in the epiphany category. Like I said, my coworker wore a pentacle ring. I asked her about it, and we got talking ever so slightly. I think she was Famtrad, actually. She loaned me Scott Cunningham's Solitary Practitioner, which I think everybody has read at some point. Well, actually, probably not everybody, but it's a great starting book in the you can't cause any harm with it. It's very innocuous, gives you some good basic information. I like it for those reasons, and also because it teaches you about personal energy. I like it well enough that whenever somebody, you know, somebody who knows nothing about the craft wants to know some stuff, I've passed on this book. In fact, I've loaned it out so many times and not gotten it back that I just buy extra copies at the used bookstore now to give out. It costs me less. Seriously, I'm up to about my 8th copy of it, and I've only read it once and a long time ago, and they just keep going away. So she loaned me the book, and I read through it, and I knew this was the right stuff, but I still wanted more, you know, the how to get into the practice. And then one day, as I'm going home from university, I was in university at this time, studying for my degree in psychology, actually. And as I was going home, I went past a store in New West called Pagan Book Place. And it turned out that it actually just opened like a week or two before my actually going into it and noticing it. So I went into it to buy a copy of Cunningham as I was going to return the one that I borrowed and could then have my own copy. And only to discover that the store owner was starting up a Wicca 101 class, and it was starting about a week after that. I mean, when things fall into place, they fall into place. And yeah, I signed up. I conned a friend of mine into signing up with me so that I could go with, and I was very much in the closet, especially with my family then, so I was very discreet about what I was doing. And I took the 101 class, and they were very large into teaching. In some ways, actually in a lot of ways, they became a local group called Care Seren. They went through about four incarnations, at least that I witnessed, and Care Seren is who they are now. And they're still a teaching tradition, which is fabulous. And they were teaching a lot of 101s. I even taught a 101 through the store, actually, at one point, years later. But that was what they did. And through that constant teaching, they built up a community. And there were other communities being built at the same time, and those communities, strangely enough, joined in together to make this greater community that has actually lasted right up until now. A community that I'm still involved with and have been off and on for years. Because periodically I like to go into my own little world and be a little antisocial. So I'd take little breaks, actually, and little being anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, from the community, working on my own stuff, and then come back into it and reconnect with everyone. And that's been going on for about 20 years now, actually. Obviously, my own interests have continued to evolve over that time. So when I was first involved, I worked with a couple of people, and we had a grove and then a coven for a while, and then we split up. Time passes again, and it's hard to remember now at this point to get it all nicely chronological for you. Can't actually get it time-wise chronological, so I'm just going to say that I did a bunch of time solitary, and I have done the very strange and improbable thing, and while I was officially initiated into the first degree, that was after I had self-initiated to the first degree, and then I went on to self-initiate on the second and third degrees. And there are people out there right now, if you're listening, that are going, oh dear God, no, you can't do that. That is not real. That is not right. It is not proper. It is not, a lot of knots that go with it. The strange part is that this is my, I don't really want to say it for the, there's no crowing involved per se. It's more a matter of, to give you an idea of who I am. It's fair to say that, yes, I'm a self-initiated third degree, but also to give you a sense of how that fits within my community, pagan-wise. There are people who I have seen them say repeatedly on lists and such that you cannot self-initiate third degree. And that same person has also, and a couple people have, who are kind of in that category, acknowledged my third degree is real. So if you're wondering if I have any experience to back it up, and if the idea of an outside source kind of validating it works for you, then it can be said that my third degree has been validated by elders of the community. Again, feels very weird for me to say, especially to a public group, but since you want, one presumes to know a little bit about what goes into me that goes into making this podcast, it seemed only fair to share. So over that period of 20 years, I meandered up to the third degree, started my own coven, and we're still together. We just had our, I think it's our 8th year anniversary. I kind of lose track. Isn't that horrible? I'll be the bad person in a long-term relationship, I'm sure, because I'll always forget the dates. So I think we're about 8 years anniversary, which is fabulous. They are my sisters. It is a wonderful thing, and I'm going to actually talk about coven stuff on another night. Just because there are things that we have learned that I didn't find in any book that would have been really good to know way back, not way back when, but definitely would have been good to know, when the shit hit the fan, basically. It would have been helpful. So we've been working together for 8 years, and in the last couple of years, particularly, prior to the last couple of years, I went through some very interesting times, basically mental, emotional breakdown, and had to discover different things in my world, had to integrate some really difficult issues, had to work through a lot of shit, and I got there. There was, I was talking to a friend of mine at one point at a party, actually, about 4 months ago, and he was commenting that for a while there, he wasn't so sure I was going to make it through. We were talking about mental health in the pagan community, and I was on his potentially lost list. He was worried that I was going to fall off the bad side, so to speak. And I didn't. And he's very kind of surprised and very happy for me. And I have to say that I am extremely happy for myself. It's a lot nicer to be centered and calm and happy than messed up, lost, and freaked out on a constant basis. It was a very interesting time. And I'm sure more of that will come out in future episodes as well. So then after that kind of cleared out and I got to really start enjoying life again and working more on an outward basis, we started, that would be some of my coven mates and I, exploring different things. So we took a Druidry 101 class. I started delving back into hermetics a bit. Constantly studying. I love to learn. At the moment, we've been working with only as time permits, which my time is not very much, so it hasn't been a lot, unfortunately, but working with Sarah, the Witch of Forest Grove, on more traditional craft, the actual... I'm going to get my phrasing wrong, and I'm very sorry, but I'm going to say traditional craft. So more the hands-on folk magic. I will delve into that another night because the description's failing me and I don't want to sit here and at you. Because I'd probably have to, edit that out, and I'm still learning this whole MacBook podcast editing thing. And it may take me a couple episodes before I get good enough at editing things out that I can really remove the ums. So I'm going to try and avoid them. But that really kind of brings me up to the present in... that was almost a numb. Now I'm really watching for it. I've been learning and practicing and what's kind of gone into making me as me here, which is the person talking to you about podcasting. I did talk in the first segment about some of the experiences that I've had in the last couple of years about body work. That'll come out more specifically as I'm dealing with different things like authentic movement and such, and I'll give you a little bit more history at that time of what I've learned and where, because it'll be a little bit more applicable. But for now, I think that kind of summarizes it in the whirlwind tour of Saturn, the magical being. So I think we're going to take a break at this point. And I'm going to do actually probably a little body work in the break. So just to give you a hint of some of the stuff we're going to work on. And when I come back, we're going to take a little trip into the well. Thanks for listening to Pennies in the Well. While you're sitting there, or standing, or walking, and you're listening to this, take a moment and become aware of the world around you. Notice if the world, the trees, or the traffic, the people, or the open spaces. Notice the sounds, if there's cars, if there's birds, if there's waves of an ocean. Notice all those things, and then let your awareness turn away from them and slip a little more into your own world. But focusing not on your thoughts. If there are thoughts, just let them happen and let them drift away. Instead, become aware of your body. Maybe you'll notice first if you have some part that's really sore, or if you have an itch or something like that. You can have that experience and feel it and notice those physical qualities. But go a little step further. Is there something that you're feeling right now? Has there been something that's been bothering you? Something that's been joyful for you? If you're feeling something now, let yourself be aware of it. Let yourself be aware of the emotion. Not just of how you may feel in the sense of joyful or fearful or frustrated, but take that emotion and then feel it in your body. If you're feeling joyful, how does that feel in your body? Is it light? Is it in your legs or in your arms? Does it have a color? Does it have a scent or a taste? Does it have a sound? And then Perhaps your emotion is something else. Maybe it's frustrated. Maybe you're anxious over something. Where is that anxiety? Where does it sit in your body? Is it moving? Is it stationary? Does it have a color or a sound? Does it have a texture or some other aspect? How does it feel in your body? How does that emotion feel? And let yourself really notice that your body also has the experience of the emotion, that it's not just emotion itself. Notice it and realize it, and that's all you need to do. Nothing more needs to be done with it. Just let yourself have the awareness and sit with it for a minute. Let yourself really feel the emotion and feel it through your body as well. Episode 1 of Pennies in the Well is brought to you by the tarot card, Seven of Spears, and the runestone, Bjork. Welcome back to episode 1, and thank you again for listening. The first part of the break, with a little bit of bodywork in it, had playing in the background Chopin's Etude in E, or at least so I believe, because my iTunes thing says that with a lovely little question mark at the end. So we're going to go with it. I hope that you enjoyed that little bit. We are going to work more with that in the future. But for now, let's take a little journey into my version of the well. Your well may vary, but this is how I see the well. So if you would like to sit back and relax, because we are going to take a little bit of a journey, and my voice is going to get very melodic and slow. So I would recommend that if you are the type to get very relaxed in that kind of meditative guided state, that you probably don't want to do this while driving. It is a little bit meditative. So for those of you who want to join me in taking the journey, I hope you enjoy it. And if you're just going to be listening, I hope you enjoy the description. So let's get started on taking this little trip. First off, let's get a little relaxed and take a couple deep breaths. And as you relax, you're going to start to notice that you're in a different place. And in that place, there are a lot of trees, familiar trees to you. They may be cedar trees, they may be fir trees. In my area, for my well, those are what they are. They are the evergreen trees. Despite the fact that we are still in the last of winter, they are deep, dark green, always reminding us that life continues. So go walking through these trees. And as we go walking through them, you have that lovely, fresh, purifying scent of the trees and the cedar boughs brush across your nose. And you take a deep breath and you smell it deep within you, and it makes you feel fresh and clean. And the ground is soft beneath your feet, springy. And as you walk along, the trees start to thin a little bit. And you notice that they're starting to change. Now you see ahead of you beautiful white birch trees reaching up to the sky with their branches. The bark of the trees is white. In some places, the paper thinness of it is peeling off, and the golden tone of the wood beneath shows through. And you walk through these trees, and they start to get more sparse. This band of birch trees doesn't last very long, and then you're opening up into a big, wide clearing. You realize that the sun is out and is shining down, and it is warm, beautifully, wonderfully warm on your skin. And as you walk out away from the trees. You walk into grasses, tall, beautiful grasses that have within them red and white clover, and they have the bluish fescue and the Malay bluegrass and plantain and timothy and sweetgrass, all these different grasses growing in wild profusion. And you walk through them and they brush against your legs. And as you go towards the center of this wide clearing, you realize that there is an old, old well at the center of it. And as you walk closer, the grasses become shorter and smaller, and then you're walking on old moss and low-growing thyme and low green clover, and it is very soft against your feet as you walk up to the stones of the well, where the well itself, the stones are gray and old, falling a bit, just a bit. It gives a sense of how long it's been there, but not a sense that the well itself is in disarray. You know that this well will be here for a very long time to come. And down to the left side of the well, there's an old bucket. It must have been lowered simply by hand, for there's nothing over the well to raise it up or down with. And in that old bucket, you can just make out that there was a bird's nest, currently abandoned, but you know that the birds will come back soon, making their nest in the spring, and there will be new life again. You turn away from the bucket, and you take a step closer to the well. Maybe put your hands upon the edge of it and feel the texture and the coolness of the stone beneath you. And you look down into its mouth. It is a very wide open mouth. There's no sense of feeling constrained in it. There's a welcoming aspect to you. It invites you in. You can see that the sunlight is streaming down through that wide opening, highlighting items down below. You can see them sparkle. It's that hint of something down below, something unexpected. And when you decide to, and when you're ready, you swing your legs over the edge of the well, and you simply drift down gently. And you know that at any point, all you have to do is think about going back up the well, and you will simply float back up to the surface. But for now, we're going to explore a little. And so you slip down into the well. And as you float down gently, you look a little bit around and you realize that the light disperses somewhat into the space and it's wider than you expected. Your feet touch the ground beneath you and you feel coins that multitudes of them beneath your feet, and they shift just slightly. And as you touch down, you feel grounded again. And you look around as far as your eyes can make out, and you realize that this used to be a waterbed, a flowing river perhaps, but that the water itself has shifted to somewhere else, leaving only a small stream still flowing through. You can hear that stream just out of eyesight, the water tinkling over the stones. You can feel it in the dampness in the air, the cool, cool brush of moist air on your cheek. And you look around right underneath where the opening is, and you see scattered coins. Some of them are modern and familiar. Some of them are from foreign countries. And then as you look closer, you realize that some of those coins are very old. Some go back 50 years, some 100, some even longer than that. For these are the wishes of many different people over many different lifetimes. And they rest there, becoming what it is that they are meant to become, releasing what they are meant to release. And so you take a few steps around and you look. You realize that on one part of the wall. You can actually see a bit of the wall. You can touch it, the moistness of it, and there's probably some moss growing up and along it. And you walk a little bit further around and you realize that there are parts where the opening to where the wall must be is very, very wide. There's a sense of space. And though it's dark and you can't see it, you're not worried, for there's nothing harmful here. All that is down here is that which you brought with yourself and that which needs to be there for you. And you take a further couple of steps around and you look at anything that catches your own eye. I like to sit sometimes on a lovely hollowed out bit of rock where the water had run across it until it was smooth and curved out, as if it was shaped just for me. And I bet that if you were to sit in it, you would find that it had been shaped and curved just for you, so that you could sit there relaxed in this deep contemplative space and be comfortable. And perhaps you do that for a little while, or perhaps you wander a little bit more. Some of the light that comes down from the sunshine above reflects off the moist rocks and off of the coins, and it gives a sparkling, airy quality to the light, to the air around you. And it allows you to see a little bit farther than would normally be the case. And as you look around, simply enjoy what it is that you see. And then let go of looking and touch what is around you. Touch the stones beneath your hands. Reach down, perhaps, and let some of the coins slip through your fingers. Perhaps you take a few steps back to where you hear the spring water, and you step carefully because you don't want to slip. And you walk down to the edge of it, and you reach your hand down into the water, and it is cold and refreshing, and perhaps you even take a sip of it. And then, when you're ready, you start to walk back up to where the sunlight beckons you. For today, we are only taking a step into the well, meeting this place. So you walk back to where the sunlight is, and you, when you're standing beneath it, you will yourself back up, and you just that easily are moving back through the lightness of air, up and into the space at the top of the well. And you're sitting on the edge of it, and you swing your legs back over. And perhaps take another deep breath as you look around this field and this opening and the birch trees, and just a hint of the green of the fir and the cedar beyond. One final breath, and then you relax and come out of this space, and we return now to the podcast, and to me, your host, Saturn, getting a little less soothing with the voice and coming back to something a little more lively. Because we have to actually start wrapping it up now. We are at a remarkable hour and almost 5 minutes. Oh my God. Well, you know, all things considered, with my ability to ramble on at length, I think it's actually pretty impressive that I kept it to pretty close to an hour. So I just want to say a few thank yous again to Meredith Luce for letting me use her music, to Paris for letting me use her picture, to Sarah for getting me set up on the website, to my coven mates for putting up with all that we'll be have to put up with, and for being so supportive through it all. Thank you to everyone, and a thank you especially to you, the person listening to this. Thank you for downloading and listening, and I hope that you have enjoyed this first episode of Pennies in the Well, and I hope that you will join me at the next one, which will hopefully be with some point within the next month, and we'll get more into some more specific topics. And again, if you want, feel free to email me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com or leave a comment at penniesinthewell.com. And I'm going to leave you with a last song, a surprise song, actually, very outside of my intended pagan and or Canadian and or local artists. But it is Pink's Crystal Ball. And the reason I'm playing for you, and though you could say it has a little bit of a pagan connotation to it, is actually because that song is what inspired Paris to do the picture that is now the logo for the podcast. So I'm going to leave you with that song, and for the next little while, I hope you have really good dreams, and until next we talk, merry meet, merry we part, and merry may we meet again. Blessed be.
Drinking wine and thinking bliss is on the other side of this. I just need a compass and a willing accomplice. All my doubts have filled my head, cascading up and down again. Up and down, around again. Down and up and down again. Oh, I've had my chances and I've taken them all just to end up right back here on the floor. To end up right back here on the floor. Pennies in a well, $1 million in the fountain of a hotel. Fortune teller says maybe you won't go to hell, but I'm not scared at all. Cracks in the crystal, the cracks in the crystal ball. Sometimes you think everything is wrapped inside a diamond ring. Love just needs a witness and a little forgiveness and a halo of patience and a less sporadic pacing. I'm learning to be brave in my beautiful mistakes. Oh, I've felt that fire and I've been burned, but I wouldn't trade the pain for what I've learned. I wouldn't trade the pain for what I've learned. Pennies in a well, $1 million in the fountain of a hotel. Fortune teller that says maybe you won't go to hell, but I'm not scared at all. Of the cracks in the crystal, the cracks in the crystal ball. Irony, irony is hate and love for what it does to me, what it's done to me, what it's in the fountain of a hotel. Broken mirrors and a black cat's cold stare. Walk on the ladders on my way to hell. I'll meet you there, but I'm not scared at all. No, I'm not scared at all. Of the cracks in the crystal, the cracks in the crystal ball.